The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on July 14, 1995 at Bangalore, Karnataka, India. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 22.
Ananyas chintayanto maam ye janaha paripasate teshaṁ mityāviyuktānāṁ yogakṣemaṁ vahāmyaham. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Is there translation for people that don't know English? Is there some... Does everybody know English? Kannada. Indapakam? Was it? That's my Vita. Indavare. So... But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Repetition. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who is unable to live for a moment without Krishna consciousness cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day. Being engaged in devotional service by hearing and chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshipping, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, rendering other services, cultivating friendship, and surrendering fully to the Lord. Such activities are all auspicious and full of spiritual potencies, which make the devotee perfect in self-realization, so that his only desire is to achieve the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee undoubtedly approaches the Lord without difficulty. This is called yoga. By the mercy of the Lord, such a devotee never comes back to this material condition of life. Kshema refers to the merciful protection of the Lord. The Lord helps the devotee to achieve Krishna consciousness by yoga. And when he becomes fully Krishna conscious, the Lord protects him from falling down to a miserable conditioned life. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 9, text 22. This is the chapter entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge. Many times devotees are worried that if I worship Krishna, I'll lose something. If I worship Krishna, I may not be successful. What will happen if I worship Krishna? But here, Lord Krishna, he is saying for those who are absorbed in worshipping him, who are meditating on his transcendental form, he carries whatever they lack, and he preserves whatever they have. Even though we may not have everything we need to be fixed in our devotional service, but by the mercy of Krishna, if we are doing our part to serve him, trying our best to think of him and being absorbed in his service, then he will make up what we lack. Last night we had an interesting function at the Hyderabad temple. It was the Gita Club award night on the occasion of Rath Yatra festival there. Many children, over hundreds of children and youths in Hyderabad and Secunderabad, the twin cities in Andhra, they belong to the Gita Club, which is a special study group where they have summer camps and they study Gita and they have tests. Just like here, we're also having Krishna tests. This test for children and these programs for them to study the Shastra are very, very important. I appreciate very much everything that the devotees here are doing for the Krishna test program, which here is involving thousands and thousands of young people. In fact, I hear you'll also be having an award ceremony after the test, where I'll be giving those members of the congregation who are actively promoting this Krishna test some award. We had a similar ceremony for the children and those who were promoting the program there in Hyderabad. And what was interesting, at the end of the ceremony, one of the boys, I think he was in 12? 10 plus 2. And he mentioned that before he got this opportunity, he was basically an atheist. But he was very enthusiastic. He said after going through the course, now he's a firm believer in Krishna. In fact, he gave a personal testimony how he had been elected a secretary of the Gita Club. And so while he was doing his studies, but he had to give some time for the Gita Club, and so he couldn't give all that time that maybe his parents wanted for the studies. But whatever time he gave was very quality time. So when he sat for the final exam, that time he found that by the mercy of Krishna that he got 525 out of 600, which was a very good score. And then they had the college entrance exam, and he was applying for one of the best colleges, universities. But just happened that time they're having the Gita summer camp. So he didn't really have time to prepare. He was so busy doing all the organization as a secretary. When he sat for the entrance exam, then he was very surprised when he saw the result that he had topped the exam list in the number one position, and he is now a 4-year scholarship to university, while he was doing Gita Club activities. And we find many things like this, although we always encourage the students to study, but while they're doing their study, by doing their spiritual activity, somehow Krishna helps them. Although those who are not so faithful, they think that, well, I don't have any time to study, to chant. I have to do all my studies. And those who give a little time for chanting and time for study seem to do better. So Krishna, if we give our devotion to Krishna, he makes out what we lack in many different ways. Not only materially, but most important, spiritually. So this one student, I'm saying that because it's fresh in my mind, he was personally, that was his realization. He said now he believes in Krishna fully. Of course, we shouldn't think, even if something happens wrong in our life, we shouldn't lose our faith in Krishna. That might, sometimes there's trials, challenges which come, which make us become more fixed up and more dedicated. And we have to cross over the trials as well as accept the good fortune. So what was good is that when the child had a good fortune, he thought this was Krishna's mercy on me. And what's also good is when we have any difficulty we had to face, we should know that this may be due to our own previous errors, but that by Krishna's mercy, he will cross us over the difficulty. Krishna promises, Name bhakta pranashyati, my devotee shall never perish. Krishna promises to protect his devotee under all circumstances. The fact that you are all engaging in different services and even your daily activities for your those who are grihasthas, for their grihastha life, if you do these activities always remembering Krishna and thinking that I want to have, to maintain my family in a nice way so that I can, they can all engage in Krishna's service so that I can have some time to give for Krishna's service so that I can help in serving Krishna and seeing Krishna's project come up. If we analyze and put our activities in touch with Krishna, it becomes something special. It becomes like a karma yoga or bhakti yoga rather than karma. Karma means that we are doing something for a pious purpose. And by karma, good karmas, punyas, we can get to swarga. We can get to the heavenly planets. Right now, we are on the bhūloka. You know there are 7 higher and 7 lower planets. The 7 higher, Bhur, Bhuva, Swa, then the Mahalok, Janalok, Tapalok, and Satyalok. So Bhagavad Gita Krishna says how we can go up to these higher planets by doing punyas. But this is not the real goal of life. Because even if we get up to Satyaloka, again we have to come down if you're not Krishna conscious. Abhamana bhuvana loke punar vitin arjuna mam upetyat kunteya punar janma nividyate. Those who are Krishna conscious, they don't have to take rebirth again. They will go to Krishna. This is very important to understand because in the previous verse it describes those who have done a lot of punyas. Those who study the Vedas, good brahmanas and good persons who study shastra, do punyas, drink somaras, seek heavenly planets, swar gatim, they get to swar, umbhur swa, they get to the third higher level. They are purified of the sinful reaction. They worship Krishna, Vishnu, but indirectly, not out of devotion purely. So they take birth on the pious heavenly planet of Indra, where they enjoy godly delights. Then, when they have thus enjoyed vast heavenly sense pleasure and the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. Those who thus seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principle of the three Vedas achieve only repeated birth and death. So that is the path of those who are doing only punya karmas. So what is better than punya karma. Of course, those are very good people. They're very pious people. They're very dear to Krishna. But they're not liberated people. What we want to do is encourage people to do bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means to serve Krishna, to serve the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. If we serve Krishna without envying any living entities, being kind on all the living entities, then Krishna is very pleased. And we are able to go back to Krishna after finishing our material activities. So in this life we can be peaceful. And the next life we can be with Krishna. This is a very great success. So that is possible if we are absorbed in Krishna. You see, practice of devotional service is a gradual process. It's not possible to be absorbed in Krishna for everyone all of the sudden. It's something that may take many years and years of practice to gradually become used to thinking about Krishna in our different activities. But if we are able to be absorbed in Krishna, then we will go to Krishna without a doubt. Even in the Bhagavad, it explains how asuras who have become absorbed in Krishna by other emotions, like Kamsa, he was always thinking of Krishna in fear. Day and night, he's seeing Bhishika, he's seeing that image of Krishna coming, that Krishna is going to come and kill me, Krishna is going to get me, I have done so many things against him, he's going to get me, when will Krishna come? He'd wake up in the night, he'd see dreams all the time, everywhere he's looking, he's seeing Krishna, Krishna, but he wouldn't see Krishna with devotion. He was seeing Krishna with fear. But because he was totally absorbed in Krishna, Krishna had to come to him out of his causeless mercy and give him what he was expecting. Jaitata mang prapadyante tang sataiva bhajamyaham. He reciprocates according to how people approach him. Akwar Kamsa was then always sending some friend, please, this Krishna, I'm so afraid of him, you please go and kill him. And he'd send one more Rakshasa, Rakshasi, Putana, Trinivarta, one after another, they're all going. Of course, this is all lessening the burden. It's interesting how in that yuga, Dwapara Yuga, the asuras, they had infiltrated the human planet to control mankind by taking birth in the kingly families and by being born as the royal heirs. They, like Kamsa was the crown prince, so he arrested his father and took over the kingdom. Ugrasena was put in prison. Like that, headed by Duryodhana and many other, Sisupal, Jarasandha, so many asuras had taken birth as humans. And that burden was felt by earth that not ordinary humans are taking birth, now asuras are taking birth to control. And they had taken all the leading positions. So Krishna came to deliver his devotees and to relieve the burden of the earth from these duskritina, from all these asurics. But anyway, the example, how even these demons who were absorbed in Krishna, Sisupal is another day, he was always thinking of Krishna in envy. Why Krishna should be worshipped? Why Krishna? Why not others? Why not me? I'm as good as Krishna. Then like that, he'd always be envious of Krishna. So finally, Krishna cut off his head. He got liberation. He got moksha. Atma came out and went into Krishna. He got moksha. Agarthi's demons, they get moksha, sayujya moksha. They get merging into Krishna. Effulgence. But the bhaktas, they don't aspire for that type of moksha. There's five types of moksha. Salokya, Samipya, Sarupya, Shashti, and Sayujya. Sayujya is the merging. They don't want merging. Salokya means live on the planet of Krishna. Sarupya, have a form like Vishnu. Satchidananda Rupa. Then Shashti is the opulence of the Lord. Samipya is being very close to the Lord. Close association. These four types of moksha are accepted by devotees if it is for serving the Lord. Without serving, they are not interested. They don't want a visa to go to Vaikuntha if there's no service for Krishna there. They want to go to serve the Lord. Service is for them the most important. So we're not recommending people should take a demonic attitude and fear Krishna or envy Krishna. That's not recommended here. But what's being shown is any way you think of Krishna, it's good. Even for the demons, it was good. If you are fully absorbed. So for devotees, we are fully absorbed by bhakti. By hearing and chant. We don't do the envy and hatred and all this. We're not recommending. Please don't misunderstand. Nobody, please, don't follow Kamsa or Sisupal. Follow Yasoda, Nanda, follow Arjuna, follow the devotees. They get absorbed by love, by devotion. And that can happen by a regular practice of every day. We get up in the morning, first thing what do? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So somebody says, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siya Daita Garadha Siva Sari Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then in the morning hours, we chant some Hare Krishna, read some Gita, Bhagavad, then we do our any pujas and we do our daily activity. While we're working, we also while we're going in the car, in the bus, we can also go on chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We fill up any spare moments with chanting. And while we're doing our work, we also think, how that this work I'm doing, let this work be pleasing to Krishna. Let some of the fruits of my work go to Krishna. Because Gita is explaining, yajna tat kamano natra loko yang karma bandhana. Any work we do as a sacrifice, as a yajna, meant for the pleasure of Vishnu, that frees us from the bondage. And any activity we do which will not be for the pleasure of the Lord, it will bind us in the karma fall. Jai Krishna Balaram, Jai Krishna Balaram, Jai Nitai Gaur. The Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered some of the living entities to take up this Krishna consciousness. He basically ordered all of the human beings in the universe to take it up. Not everything, but at least all the human beings. And he said that they should not only take it up, but they should give it to others. And he gave a special instruction for those born in India. Right? He said, Bharat Bhumite Manusha Janma Hoylo Jar. Those who take in human birth in the holy land of Bharata, Janma Shataka Kuri. You should make your life a success by following this Krishna conscious process. Janmashataka kori koro poro upakar. And then you should try to help others. But people don't know who they are, then they naturally suffer the most. The biggest problem in the world today is that people don't know their spiritual identity. They don't know that they are spiritual entities. They don't know that they have an eternal relation with the Supreme Lord, that we are all beloved by the Lord, and our duty as men to offer Him loving service. He is our friend. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate. He's a Dina Bandhu. He's a friend of the fallen and the hopeless. Namo Bhamanaya Devaya Go Brahman Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishna Govindaya Namo Namaha. He's working for Jagat Hitaya. And in Gita, Krishna said, Bhoktaram Jagatapasang Sarvaloka Maheshwarang Suhidang Sarvabhutanam. But I'm the enjoyer of all religions and all activities, all sacrifices. On all the planets, I am the Lord of all existence. Sarvaloka Maheshanam. But I am Surhidan Sarvabhutana. I am the Surhit. I am the friend of all living entities. Krishna is our friend. He's not only the greatest Lord, but He's also our dearest friend. And if we understand that as something, we get gyatrang mang shanting richati, then we get peace of mind. That Krishna is my friend. Krishna is my protector. Krishna will provide what I need, give what I lack. But to earn that, we have to be good friends and good devotees of Krishna. We can't expect that. These people say, I'm a good person, why do bad things happen to me? I had a case recently. One gentleman came to me in South America. He was born from Lebanon, Muslim, but he became a Christian, but he also come to our temple occasionally and chants Hare Krishna occasionally. He's kind of universal. He was a consul general there. So his daughter was a very nice girl. She was doing a lot of social work. She was doing a lot of help in the community, materially helping poor people. But not particularly religious, but she would go to church occasionally. And she was good person by the normal standard. So he was very upset because they were his daughter and her husband and granddaughter and his wife were coming back from the beach, and there was somehow the car came out of the control, and daughter was driving and fell into some deep kind of culvert. Some river or something was there, nobody saw. There was deep, 30 foot deep, and crashed down. Threw all the members of the car out, but somehow the daughter got caught behind the steering wheel and she died. So his wife survived, the granddaughter survived, and the son-in-law survived, but his daughter didn't survive. But he was very sad that she's a good lady, how is it she could die? He was like going through a big emotional shock. Something very natural for a father. So we did a special Shraddh type of puja for her soul, because she came to the temple once, so on his request we did a puja in the temple. But you could study the psychology. I mean, just couldn't understand. She was a good person. She was doing good karmas. Why did she have to suffer? And many people, they don't understand this point. How does the law of karma work? It's like a bank account. You get one account is for punya. You get another account is for pap. And like she wasn't vegetarian. She was good in a Western sense. She was doing so many things that we would consider very sinful here. But she was doing some social work. So that she was getting some punya for helping people. But the punya does goes in the good account. But the pap goes on in the bad account. The punya doesn't cross out the pap. This is what people don't understand. They think if I do a lot of good work, it'll cross out my bad work. Doesn't work like that. Papa goes in separate account. Punya goes in separate account. Whatever papas you do, that goes in that account. And the punyas go in this account. So just do a lot of punya, doesn't cross out the papas. The only way you can clear out papas is by yajna. By acting for Krishna, then you can clean out this material account. Otherwise, by simply good works, doesn't mean good people will have bad things happen to them if they're also doing bad things. Or if they've done bad things within the last 100 births. Because the karmas are coming even for 100 births. So it's not unlikely that some sinful reaction can come on them. So many people, they don't understand the intricacy that how good work is not going to save you. Not going to save anyone. It helps. It's better than doing bad work, no doubt. We encourage good work. But better is to do a good work in such a way that Krishna is pleased. It should be a good work that we do for the pleasure of Krishna. Then we get all the benefit. So that if you give something away, Krishna said, do it in my name. If you're giving out for the poor people, do it in the name of Krishna. Give out the Krishna prasadam. Do it in that this is on behalf of the temple we're giving. Let people be drawn to Krishna, that I'm getting this from God. We are giving basically to the Supreme Lord. And this Lord is, the temple then is giving out the benefit to the poor. So that way, our service is to the Lord, which will go to the benefit of the needy. We don't get bad karmas, we get we get the best thing from Krishna, we get Sukriti. There's another higher account, this is eternal credit. This is beyond the punya and papa account. This is a Sukriti account. This is the account which gives us our visa back to Golok Vrindavan and Vaikuntha. Many people have these Vaikuntha passports. You see, well, Krishna, he has also his special accountant who's keeping track. All the sevas we do that goes in our account of Sukriti. When we get enough Sukriti accumulated, then Krishna, he gives us a visa back to the spiritual world. We were discussing that not only does he give you the visa, but he also gives you the airfare. Some people, you know, they want to go to America or London or Australia. They get visa, but then they again have to also buy the ticket. Even you buy the ticket, you might not get the visa. But Krishna is a package tour. If you get visa, you get also the free airplane. The Puspa Biman, the spiritual airplane will come. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, when life was over, he went to Badrik Ashram. There he was meditating and worshipping the form of Narayan there. He was being fully absorbed in that meditation. It said when his meditation was so complete, he was so absorbed, he was starting to feel tears coming in his eyes. His hairs were standing on end. He was feeling so much ecstasy. That time he wasn't thinking of anything else but Krishna. And it said that just like a coconut becomes dry on the outside, inside the coconut it becomes loose. That when a devotee gets so much absorbed in Krishna that he becomes liberated while living. And the connection between the external body is just like in a dry coconut inside the big husk. It's inside there, but there's no connection. But for all practical purposes, already liberated, only the superficial connection is there. And that will be finished when the body is finished. So then that while he was meditating, beautiful moon-like light started to appear in the sky. He saw that this airplane had come down, and there was there the representative of Vishnu, Sananda and Sananda, the two special associates of Lord Vishnu from Vishnu Lok. They came and told him that we are come. Vishnu has said, now you are ready to go back. If you want to go to Vishnu Lok, you can get on the airplane. So he thought, get on the airplane of Vishnu is not a small thing. I better take my bath first. So he went into the Ganga there and took the bath at Bagri Ashram Ganga and put on the fresh cloth and his tilak, everything. Then he went, he was still a little bit hesitant. He thought, you know, the actual, this brilliant Vishnu Bhiman. So then he went around it four times. Circumambulating. And then he said, all right, he felt now I'll get on. As he was going to step on it, he saw that death personified was coming, racing to him. Ferocious death! Death! And he put his foot on the Bhiman. Put his foot on the head of death. It was coming, stepped on death and walked onto the holy airplane of Vishnu. Crossed over death. And then he was in his spiritual form. Satchidananda Roop. And what he thought, what about my mother? If it wasn't for my mother today, I wouldn't be here going back to Vishnu Lok. She was the one who told me to look for Vishnu, look for Krishna, look for the Supreme Lord. She says, what about my mother, Suniti? And they, Vishnu, Dutz, Sanananda, they said, look it. And there was another Bhiman going, and she was already heading back. She says, since she's your guru, she's already going ahead of you. So the disciple goes back to Krishna, guru also gets a free visa and passage. So please go back, then your guru can also get, in case the guru is not able to get on any other way, then he this way he can also go. So in this way, by little practices, hearing and chanting and preparing, gradually we start to develop attraction to Krishna. And then when the attraction is there, very easy to think of Krishna. In the beginning, we might be attracted because we are in disease condition. But if we go on practicing, we become purified. Prabhupada gave the example, when you have jaundice, you take sugar candy, it tastes bitter. Is sugar candy bitter? What do you think? Misri, sugar candy, is it bitter or sweet? Normally. Any, ever had any sugar candy that's bitter? No. Not normal. Always it's sweet. But why the sick man with jaundice is thinking it's bitter? Why is that? What is this mystery? Because of disease. His taste is giving the wrong information because he's sick. He's tasting a sweet thing and he's thinking it's bitter. Isn't it? But if he goes on eating the sugar candy, he'll get cured. And what will the sugar candy taste like when he's healthy? It'll taste sweet. So sometimes people, in the beginning, they think, oh, chanting Hare Krishna, this is very tiresome, or they're not appreciating in the beginning. But if you go on chanting, this is like a jaundice. If you go on chanting, then you gradually you start to say, oh, this is very sweet, this is very nice. So in the beginning, we had to kind of force our mind, force ourselves a little bit, those who have not the taste yet, to give that time. It's like a question of priority. We had to set a time aside. I asked one businessman in Hyderabad, he came and he was saying, I chant but I don't get the time. I asked him, do you find the time to bathe every day? No, I bathe every day before I go to work. So you're finding the time to bathe but it's taking so much time? No, but I have to bathe before I go to work. Do you wash your clothes? No, every day I wear clean clothes. So what is more important, your body for bathing or your consciousness? You see, the consciousness has to also be cleansed. All these influences of the world, just like when we go into the world, we see anger, we see violence, we see hatred, we see so many ugly things, we hear things. These pollute our consciousness. We have to sometime hear lies. Sometimes people, even business, they have to tell lies. So many things have to be done. And this starts to affect the consciousness. We need to bathe our mind, bathe our consciousness to get free from all these contaminations. That Lord Chaitanya gave the secret, Cheta Darpana Marjanam. The chanting is the cleansing of the consciousness. So we have to give some time for cleansing the consciousness, just like we give time for bathing and putting on the clean clothes. Then he could understand, yes, I can see now that it's a question of priority. If I give the priority, there's some time I have to give for chanting. The people don't understand the necessity of it. They all think when I get old, I'll do it. But we should do it even from the young age. And go on practicing. Then it becomes a natural habit to remember Krishna. And we always are cleansing ourselves. So I thank all of you very much for your taking up this process. I understand there are many sadhakas and sevakas and sraddhavans and other devotees, Prabhupada asrayas and guru asrayas, and of course disciples are here also. And we appreciate very much your determination. Prabhupada gave the example that if you, anyone who comes on the path of devotion, even if the beginning stage they might be very unripe, they may be very new, but once a person decides that in my life, my priority is I'm going to serve Krishna, I'm going to use my life to please Krishna, this is my objective. They are already on the path of bhakti. And so, by Krishna's arrangement, he is saying, yoga kshemam baham yam, he'll give whatever is needed to get you to that destination. We had to fix the goal, I will reach Krishna one day. I may be very weak, I may not have all the qualities, it may take me a while, but my objective is like that. I'm going to step by step head in that direction to whatever pace I can handle. So Krishna will help you. Krishna helps all of us. We need that help. Without that help, how we can reach Him? We also need to give our effort and head in that direction. So Prabhupada gives the example that what happens is anyone who makes that decision, they're all to be considered devotees. And the only difference is that some devotee is a ripened devotee and some are unripe. So you give that like a mango is ripe and unripe. If you buy it now, many mangoes are coming in market, they're picking from their tree green. They're shipping it here and they're keeping it in the box and it gets ripe. Or they pick the mango, they pick also the banana, a little unripe for shipping purpose, and they keep it in the city. After a few days, it ripens. The banana or the mango will ripen if you keep it. If you keep it on the tree, it will ripen. That's the sweetest if you have tree ripened. But the point is that once it's already fruit is formed, little time it will ripen. Devotion is like that. If we remain in the path of bhakti, we will ripen in due course. Simply we have to remain in the path. So everyone is at different stages of ripening, but everyone is heading in the correct direction. Everyone will reach Krishna simply by remaining in the process. So we wish all of you and pray to Krishna to give all his blessings on you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Of course, Lord Chaitanya gives his special mercy when you help others to get to Krishna. This is a way of reducing the bad account very quick. The aparadas and other negative things are destroyed when we help others. We have harmed others, that's called offense. When we help others spiritually, that neutralizes. Doing punya doesn't neutralize, but doing spiritual upliftment helps others. That helps others, reduces your aparadas. So that's why this Krishna test program and other programs of the temple, which are helping to bring people closer to Krishna, not only does it help those people, but it helps the people who are doing that promotional activity and trainings and so on. Because by helping others, then Krishna is more inclined to help you, and that neutralizes any mistakes you might have made in the past. So it's very important. Secret for making quick advancement. So thank you very much for helping in all these activities also. May Krishna give you all the strength needed to serve him. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Yes. Karma and karma yoga, there's a difference. Karma means the punya karmas, or the normal good activities that someone does. Also, karma means any activity which has a reaction. When we do some activity, that karma fall is there. For every karma, there's a karma fall, a fruit of the karma, reaction for the karma. But karma yoga means that we are offering the fruit of the action to Krishna, to Vishnu. Then we don't get the karma fall, we're giving that. Just like when you do yajna, you say, idam Krishna idam namama. I'm offering this to Krishna, the fruit, I don't want it. We have the right to do the work, right? Ma phaleshu kadachana. We don't have the right for the fruit. Like you're working in a factory. You may produce so many in Bangalore, what they're producing, airplanes, computers, watches, so many things. If you work in the factory, say you're working in the HMT watch factory. Is it called HMT? So by working there, if the employee decided I'm working here, I'm going to take 10 watches and put in my pocket and go. He has the right to do that. What do you think? I'm working here, so I want to take the watches. If he gets caught by the gate guard, he'll find himself in trouble, isn't it? We are working in this world, but who is the owner? It's like we're working in factory, but owner is someone else. We have the right to work, but we don't have the right to take the products of the factory unless we buy them. Maybe they give a discount for employees or something. We can't take it without permission. Like that. Krishna, then, he's given us permission. What we can take? We can have enough to eat, but we should eat holy food, sattvic food. We can have clothing, we can have house, we can have, he's given so many, what we can take. But those things which he didn't give us permission to take, if we take that, then we are responsible. Just like someone working in a factory, they're responsible. So devotee needs a universal vision. Who has that vision and he does his work and offers the fruit of the work to Krishna, he's a karma yogi. When you add to karma yoga bhakti, chanting, adhyayan, and other the samskaras and things, then it becomes bhakti yoga. Karma yoga is one of the angas of bhakti yoga. But karma yoga, all yogis have to do. Whenever you act, you should do karma yoga. Otherwise, if you act, you'll be getting only karmas. Karma means the reaction will come, and you'll be bound. So you can do karma yoga, doesn't mean only puja. Puja is bhakti yoga. Work for Krishna is also bhakti yoga. And it's also working for Krishna without the puja is karma yoga. Just like say that you're working and you decide I want to give for my work I'm giving so much percentage I give for the temple construction. So your work becomes karma yoga. That I'm working with that from the money I earn I'm going to buy the sattvic food and offer to the Krishna deity and give my children and wife so that activities also becomes a purified activity. Anything we work, we do, that we offer the result to Krishna, then it becomes a yoga, karma yoga. Now you get some people, they may offer that, okay, I cannot do all this chanting and things, but let me come on Saturday, I have time, I can come and clean your temple. Or I can go and I can do some work for the temple. I'll deliver something for you. So that's a karma yoga also. And the karma yogas are unlimited. We can do anything for Krishna that he has not prohibited. If you say, I want to set up one slaughterhouse as karma yoga, that you can't do because he's not permitting. That's not what he wants people to do. But you can make a vegetable garden and say that from this garden I'm going to give a certain percentage of the fruits I'll be maintaining my family and something I'll be giving to the deity. To Hanuman, to Krishna Balaram. So when you're giving that to Vishnu, Yajnavai Vishnu or his devotees, then it becomes a karma yoga, a bhakti. Understand the difference? Yes, sir. Yes.
Is it possible that one thought that there are 84 lakhs of years without going to the one thought?
Can a soul reach moksha without going through human birth? The human birth has got the free will. The animal births don't have the free will. They follow their instinct. So the animals have got no karmas, no punya, no pap. But if someone from human goes back to animal, in that animal birth they may be getting the result of their previous papas. To become animal from human means you have to be very sinful. So normally, human birth is the feature to get moksha. And since the animal is just following their instinct, normally how they don't have any free choice to think, like we're having a class tonight on Gita. But how many dogs have come here, how many cats? They're not able to appreciate. Now even then, sometimes by rare mercy, animals have gotten moksha. There's some example. One time in the Vishnu temple, there was one Deepa. You know Deepa, this light, lamp. The Giwik had a flame was down to very small, just blue, just almost to go out. So small, like microscopic, just the last level. So it was not even visible. One rat, one mouse came to eat the ghee on the on the tula, on that cotton swab. So while going to eat the ghee, push the cotton with the nose a little bit. That made the wick a little longer. So then the flame could increase in size. That made the deity become illuminated. At that time, some devotee had come to the temple and couldn't see the deity, was praying, "The Lord, I wanted your darshan." The mouse came and pushed. The light came up and the devotee could get the darshan. The Lord took it that the mouse has offered me an arti. He gave the mouse moksha because the mouse had offered the arti, like a pujari. But that a mouse is not thinking anything about puja. This, you can say, this is what we call ahituki kripa. This is a causeless mercy. Like that, there was a case one time where one dog was following one devotee called Sivananda Sena of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and every time that he was feeding the dog and taking the dog along, even the dog got misplaced, he took the dog on the boat, paying the ferry charge, everything. Finally, the dog disappeared just when they went to the Jagannath Puri temple town, Jagannath Puri town. He didn't see that dog. When he came to see Lord Chaitanya, he found that Lord Chaitanya was sitting, the dog was sitting there, Lord Chaitanya, eating some prasad from Jagannath, one coconut. And he was throwing the coconut to the dog who was, you know, how they catch it. And then after that, that dog, by taking the prasad of Jagannath, achieved moksha. Like that, some animals, by eating prasadam, they get either human birth or they get moksha sometime. That way, but that's why in some day like Govardhan Puja says, that day you should feed everyone, even all guests, even all animals. Right, so yes, it's like that. Few are there, but generally they don't get the chance. That's, it says, some of these priests, some of the priests who have committed offenses in a holy place, they take birth next life as dogs, hogs, or monkeys in the dham, in that holy place. Then they're being in the holy place, they eat the prasadam and they live and hear the holy names. So that way they can get deliverance. When you chant loudly, Hare Krishna! Any insects, birds, anything hears that, they can also get delivered. So you can help the animals. On their own, they're not able to take much effort because they're not conscious. Yes. You see, you already got here in India. You are already here, very civilized human. How many births you have to take to get here?